So today we're just sharing some thoughts on this theme of it's settled. And you know, there's so many things that were settled in the Bible. And so let's just start here. We're going to share a few thoughts on healing today. In Exodus 15, Exodus 15, verse 26 in the King James. It says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put, now the, you know, I just put in here because the literal Hebrew means I will permit. He didn't put anything on him. It means I will permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I've permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know what that word healeth? That's a covenant name. It's his, one of his covenant names, Rapha. Healing, he is the Lord, Jehovah. That's what that word, Lord. He is Yahovah or Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth. He is our healer. I like some of these other translations. It said, I'm the Lord your healer. I'm the Lord, for I, the Lord, am thy physician. And the Knox says, I, the Lord, will bring thee only health. So he is our what? Our healer. And he changes not. That's settled. That's a settled thing. Hallelujah. And John, you know, we know this from the New Testament in verse 16, John 3:16. But if you back up a few verses in 14, it says, Moses, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or eternal life, for God so loved what? The world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in the Old Testament, God provided a way for his people and gave them healing and ways to be healed if they obeyed him. Well, why, if he provided that in the Old Testament, we have a better covenant established on better promises. Don't you think he established that in the New Testament? Well, we just read it. And it said, whosoever believeth. That means all. So if somebody said, well, maybe God didn't heal all, or maybe he didn't provide for all, this says, whosoever, and God so loved the world. So healing was provided for all, everyone. And that's what Numbers 21:8, we don't have to look at that, but that is the verse that said, everyone that is bitten, this is, you know, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole. Everyone that is bitten and look at it will be healed. Now let's look at Psalm 103. It's God's will to heal not some, but all. All. God is always opposed and has always been opposed to sickness. He is Jehovah Rapha. So Psalm 103, starting in verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all. Say all. He forgiveth all thy what? Thine iniquities, and he healeth what? All thy diseases. That word healeth in Psalm 103 is the same word, Rapha, in Exodus. The Lord that healeth thee. It's Rapha. That's that covenant name. Now, you know, I like looking at certain things, but look, just think about Psalm 91, and let's look at, we'll look at the first four verses, and then we'll jump down. But look, in the New Living Translation, starting in verse 1, they'll put it up on the screen. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare, what did he do? This I declare of the Lord, or about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and what? Protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. And I like this. His faithful promises are your armor and protection.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That's why I love speaking that word that Pastor Clinton gave years ago. The word that I've heard is working mightily in me. It's working. The word is working in me, driving every symptom and sickness out of my body. The word is working in me, causing my bank accounts to be full and overflowing. The word is working in me and causing my marriage to be prosperous. Amen. He alone is my trust and my protection. Then it goes on. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. Do not dread the disease, what? The disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. That's why when, you know, we need to get this so buried in our spirit and get it built into our spirit so that when something like COVID comes knocking, you can just say, not touching me, not going to touch me, not touching my body or anything else. It doesn't say it won't try. But you need to get up and say, no, it's not coming here. What did Brother Hagin do? See, the symptoms tried to touch his body, but he said, I had no inspiration, but I didn't feel anything. Everything felt negative, but I spoke and I believed and doubt not, and they began to leave. Everybody getting this? Oh, yes. And then it goes on. Verse 8, just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. In verse 16, I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Hallelujah. See, some of these things, we don't need to just read them and hear them when we're at church. Make a decision. I'm walking in this. It's settled. It's my covenant, and I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to have it. Maybe you're not walking all the fullness of it, but it's yours. It's settled. Just take it and start walking in it. Make a decision today. I'm walking in this. The Lord is my protector. His word is what? His faithful promises are my armor and protection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts 10:38. It's in the King James. It says, who did God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, I like... let's put the Amplified Classic, you know, because sometimes this paints a picture of what people walk through and what you're free from. Look at the Amplified. It says, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, how he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed. I like that word, harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. You just make a decision. I'm not going to be harassed and oppressed no more. No. I'm not going to be harassed. I'm not going to be oppressed. No. Because I'm redeemed. And it's settled. It's a complete redemption. Hallelujah. He raised us up and seated us far above it. Hallelujah. I like this. This is another translation. It's the R-I-E-U. However you pronounce that. It said, healing everyone in the devil's clutches. We're not in his clutch anymore. We've been delivered from his power, his authority over us, and we've been what? Translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. Praise God. What was Jesus' purpose? We know from the epistles, 1 John 3:8. See, we need to remind ourselves, 1 John 3:8, King James, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, this is settled. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. They were destroyed and brought to naught. Oh, yes. And we ought not be any more harassed by the devil. Let's turn the tide. Let's stand up. He's trying to take the voice away from the church. You can see it in society. People are looking and going, oh, my God, what's going on? Let's stand up and command him to take his hands off the people that rule and make laws in this country. It's not that you're against people. We're not against people. God loved, he loves people. He sent Christ to die for the whole world. He's not against people, but he sure is against the devil. And the devil, who is the god of this world, influences people. See, he was slain. See, I like this. This is Hebrews 9:12 in the King James. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know what that word eternal means? That word eternal means without beginning and end, that which always has been and always will be, never to cease, everlasting. It's always been. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So this eternal redemption has no beginning or end. It's everlasting. Man, in him we have redemption through his blood. Glory to God. Praise God. Anybody getting anything?
Yes.
I tell you, it stirs my heart. Ephesians 1:7, and I just read that, but let's put up the Weymouth translation. And they'll put that up on the screen. It says, it is in him and through the shedding of his blood that we have our deliverance, the forgiveness of our offenses. So abundant was God's grace. Praise God. So we've been delivered. We've been set free. And we are what? Redeemed. That means I'm healed. Glory to God, I'm healed. Sin and sickness problem has been settled. The sin, say the sin and the sickness problem has been settled. Glory to God, it's been settled. Let's look at the Amplified. The Amplified Classic of Romans 8:11. It says, and if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That's why the more we see, the more we know, we have the wisdom to apply what we see and know. So we're wise enough as we begin to see, maybe we've said some things in the past, but I refuse to say I'm tired. Because when you say, I'm tired, you're making a statement, and your body's going to work. If you believe that and doubt not, your body's going to work and cooperate with those words. So why don't you just say, I need to lay down and get a few winks. I just need to get a rest. Why say, I'm tired? I'm so tired. I'm dragging, I'm so tired. You're going to be tired the rest of your life. That's a tired statement. You know why it's a tired statement? Because you're redeemed. You're redeemed. Why do you say, we just can't afford that? We can't do that. We can't afford that. But yet, you're a sower. Why don't you say, we're going to believe God for this, and you begin to release words. You know, sometimes you know, you have to repeat these things sometimes in the context of what you're teaching. But when Brother Hagin was sharing this when he was alive, he was sharing these faith principles, believing what you say and doubt not. And there was a young man who was in his early 20s that came to his meetings and began to learn these faith principles. And he began to speak what he believed and doubt not. And this young man, as he grew, he became a multi-millionaire. And he didn't have just one private jet, he had a few. But he began to learn these faith principles. And at that time, this is many, many, many years ago, it doesn't matter what time period you live, he began to apply faith principles. And God began to lead him to buy property. And back then, out in that area of Broken Arrow in Tulsa, it was mainly just cow pastures, farmland. Nothing like what it's built up now. Nothing but shopping malls, major roads, four-lane highways. Who had the property? He did. And it was El Cheapo. So as God led him, he began to buy it. And then when they began to build these malls and build these major highways, who did they come to? Him, who had been applying the faith principles. And he became a multi-millionaire. And when you read his stories, he talks about then when he became very prosperous, people would come and knock on his door and say, hey, I got this great deal, blah, blah, blah. I want to invest your money in this. And then it became more complex for him. And he still had to go back to the basics. And he applied these faith principles. And he would get quiet. He'd say, I'd get quiet for a few days and just kind of put myself in a closet, so to speak, and he said, I would just let my spirit, if I sensed it was the right thing to do, I would do it. If I didn't, I wouldn't. And he said, I would wait on the Lord until I got a witness in my spirit. So he began to apply faith principles and the leading of the Holy Ghost. And he became prosperous. Praise God. I don't know if that excites you, but it does me. Because that means there's no season that we live in that we can't prosper and increase in our life. Right? It may take some time, but you keep applying it, you're gonna have a harvest. Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying what? Himself took our infirmities and did what? Bear our sicknesses. This is settled. He took it. He bore it. It's settled. You don't have to and shouldn't. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath. It's settled. He's done it already. He hath what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the what? The blessing might come, blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile through Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've been redeemed. And our redemption was what? Through the precious blood of Jesus. Now, one scripture. I'm just going to pull this up, Colossians 2, verse 10. And they can pull this up in the, let me just get that. They can put it up in the King James and the Passion Translation. Let me just get that note here. Because that is exciting to me. Colossians 2, verse 10. Actually, let's look at 9 and 10 in the King James first. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, for in him, or you could say in Christ, dwelleth what? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. And you, or ye, are what? Complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The Passion Translation. And our completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. So let me ask a question. If his fullness overflows in us, he didn't bring in sickness and disease. He didn't bring in hatred. He didn't bring in confusion. He didn't bring in depression. He didn't bring in any of those things. He brought in love. The love of God's been shed abroad in my heart. He's brought in the Spirit of God. His Spirit lives within me. And his Spirit does what? Quickens. It quickens my mortal body. He brought in peace. He brought in joy. He brought in his fullness into me. Now, how do I stir that up? By faith. Thank you for that one person. We stir that up by faith. How do we receive that and turn it, activate it by faith? This is the Living Bible, and I don't think they won't have that, but I'll just read it, of Colossians 2:10. It says, you have everything when you have Christ. Whew. You have everything when you have Christ, and you are filled with God through your union with Christ. Hey, you are filled with healing. You are filled with prosperity. You are filled with joy through your union with Christ. You are filled with him. You are filled with his wisdom. You're filled. You're complete in him. Let's not talk like we're not. See, this is what's deactivating it. We need to do what? Activate what's already in us. How do we activate it? Faith. We need to speak and doubt not. Oh boy. I hear the wheels turning. Just take one area of your life and say, that one area right there, we're going to do some work right here, some major renovation right here. I'm not going to be harassed. I'm not going to be put on anymore. Nope. And I'm going to speak up from my spirit. And I'm not going to doubt. Why? Because it's settled. I'm convinced. I'm convinced that 3 plus 3 times 3 is 9. I'm convinced that if I speak and I doubt not, I'm going to have what I say. You know, this is nothing but motivational speaker talk. That's what they do, and you pay a lot of money. But we have it for what? Because of the blood. He gave it to us. These principles are settled. And that ought to excite you. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, when you have something, you know, let me just share this and just in closing here. In the scripture, when it says, in whom we have redemption. You know, I was using that example the other day, a couple of weeks ago with Minister Phyllis. It says, in whom we have redemption. If I have something, this is just the dictionary, right? This is a dictionary. It means to hold or maintain as a possession, a privilege, or an entitlement. Ooh. Do you have redemption? Do you have it? That means you own, you possess it. That's why Peter, when he said, what did he say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He had it. Oh, he had it. So when you have redemption, you possess it. And you talk like you possess it. You know, I was using that example. I'm going to use it on Pastor Greg because it begs repeating. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to say, here. He did what? He took it. Now he does what? He has it. And he can have it because he's my brother. And he gladly took it because now he's thinking about how what he can do with it. Right? Because he has it now. And it's got some zeros at the end of it. So he's like, yes. Yeah, and I'm not going to ask. He's my brother. I'm going to give it to him. But we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He bought and paid for our redemption through his shed blood. And he said, you have it. Now let's take it and walk in it, talk it, act it, because what? We possess it. It's our what? What does it say? It's to hold or maintain as a possession, privilege, or entitlement. You take it. Walk in it. I'm telling you, when the church rises up and walks in this, I'm telling you, the devil's hold is over. His influence and his stuff in your life is over. There's no more small talking. There's no more complaining because now I know I'm seated with Christ far above it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. That's enough for today. Glory to God. If you just take, you have redemption. You have it. You know, you can mouth it, and I'm just saying, I'm not, this isn't to hit anybody, but we can say it, but when the revelation of that, when the light of that, when you see it and you know it on the inside, you talk different. You won't talk like you're defeated. You won't talk like you can't. You won't talk like, oh my God, what am I going to do? The doctor just said X, Y, Z. You won't talk defeated. You just won't. Because you have something now. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater, greater, greater. You see, here's what'll happen. As this begins to grow in you, and some circumstance comes in your life that's maybe in the past would have overwhelmed you, peace will rise up. I'm telling you, supernatural peace will rise up on the inside of you. And you'll be looking at it going, wow, a year ago I'd have been a basket case. But now I have the peace of God. And what does that peace do? It controls your tongue. It controls your thoughts. Now you don't think the same. Now you don't talk the same. Because now there's not anxiety. There's not this oppressed feeling. Now I'm at peace. And all of this storm is going on and stuff's going on, but there's peace. And it controls your speech. Oh, it will. Oh, yes, sir. Isn't that what Jesus said when he said, build your house on a rock dug down deep? And when the storms of life came, it couldn't move the house. Couldn't shake it. Couldn't shake it. So all this stuff, peace will maintain your sanity. Peace will control your actions. You won't be like, oh my God, what am I going to do? You say, oh, I know what I'm going to do. Because wisdom will rise up. You'll know what to do. It's been bought and paid for. I have it. I have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for stirring our hearts. Thank you for increase in revelation and knowledge. Thank you for increase in us. And we thank you, Father, we walk in it and we talk it and we embrace what we have in Jesus' name. Amen.